Yes, sir, Brother Jason. Amen, brother.
I love y'all. I love God. I was in a bad place 5 years ago. I know it's just a day, but he delivered me from that junk.
Thank God, brother. Amen, brother. Woo! You don't see many walk away from that junk. Go ahead, Miss Joanne. Hallelujah. Amen. How about that? With God, how many things are possible?
Yeah.
All things, amen. I'm telling you, man, with God there is victory. We started off this morning singing Victory in Jesus, amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you need some victory this morning, it's there for you to be had. All you've got to do is ask it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. All you got to do is just come to the Lord just like you are, amen. Appreciate Brother Todd singing that song for me this morning. You pray for him. He's got to preach over at Brother Shea Talent's church tonight, so pray God would use him. Amen. But I love that old song. I remember the first time I heard it. It's been years ago. A fellow who used to come by here and sing every now and then, Brother Reggie Sadler, and his family sang that song. And I'll never forget the first time I heard it. I was just overwhelmed at the fact of what God had done in my life. As Brother Todd was singing that this morning, I thought to myself, you know, I don't think anybody ever really had the right kind of meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ and their life wasn't somehow drastically changed. Amen?
Amen.
He changed my life. He changed many others. And He'll change yours this morning if you want Him to. And you say, well, I think my life's okay. Well, compare it to the Word of God and see how it measures up. Amen? After all these years of serving the Lord, I still come up short, very, very, very short. My favorite song is He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be, amen? And I never will be perfect till I get to heaven, but thank God I'm going, amen?
Yeah.
Why don't you turn your Bibles with me to two places this morning. This is one of those days I came to church with two sermons, and if y'all be real good this morning and say amen and help me, I'll only preach one of them, okay? But if you're real quiet and go to sleep on me, I'll preach them both, amen. But anyway, I'm just teasing. Go to Luke chapter number 5. I stayed up very late last night wrestling between two thoughts, and both of them I thought very good. And at one point, I know this doesn't sound spiritual, but I laid the messages out on my ottoman there in the living room, and my wife was in the bed asleep, and I didn't say it out loud, but I literally sat there and thought, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't know if some of you preachers have ever been there. And I began to pray, and I said, now God, you've given me two thoughts, I know you have, and I know I'm to preach both of them, but I don't know when. Give me what's needed for in the morning. And the Lord said, you pick. I said, okay. So I stopped in my office this morning again, and I said, Lord, did we do okay? And I wasn't sure until I sat here. I brought them both with me just in case. But I sat here on the platform this morning, and Brother Todd began to sing that song, and God sealed it in my heart what I was supposed to do this morning.
Amen.
I want you to look. Did I tell you to turn to Luke chapter 5? Did I tell you to get 2 Peter chapter 3 also? Well, go ahead. Hold Luke with your thumbs. Hold your place and go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And then we're going to go back to Luke and spend some time there. But I want to look at one verse in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Just say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I want everybody looking at the Bible together. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look with me at verse number 9, where the Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Boy, I could just stop and shout and holler a little while right there. Thank God He's long. Are you ever surprised that the Lord puts up with you? I mean, do you ever just look at yourself and you know your heart? You try to fool everybody else, but deep down inside, you know the wickedness of your heart and your life, and you know the faults and the failures and how far you come from measuring up to what you really ought to be. Amen? And you ever look yourself in the mirror and think, self, I can't believe God puts up with you. Amen? If I was God, I would have killed me a long time ago. I'd have wrote me off. I would have expelled me. I'd have kicked me out of class. It'd have been over. Amen? But he just keeps loving me, and he keeps putting up with me, and he keeps forgiving me. I love that song they sing. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Amen? That's not the thought this morning, but I can't get past it. I am amazed that he is long-suffering to usward. Now look at this next little phrase in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. He said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a crowd out there, and I know some of them and love them, but they preach that God has a selected group that is going to heaven. God already has it figured out. This crowd is going to heaven. I've chosen them. I've elected them. They're the only ones going. So, and this is what they preach. Don't go soul winning. Don't run buses. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Just let God do it, what God's going to do. Listen, that is as far from the truth as anything coming down the road. Are you listening to me? The Bible said he's not willing that. Say the next word with me. Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, God's will for every living soul this morning is that they come to know Christ as their Savior. Amen. That's the will of God. It is not the will of God for anybody to die and go to hell. Matter of fact, hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and those angels that followed him from heaven when the Lord kicked him out. Amen? It wasn't made for you. Amen. God didn't make you to die and go to hell. He made you to go to heaven that one day. Amen. But he said he's not willing that any should perish. So somebody said, well, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. First of all, that you be saved and know Christ as your Savior. That's the first part of his will for your life. Would you agree with that? But the Bible uses this little phrase right here. Said that he's not willing. That he's not willing. There's a lot of things that you'd love to see done, but you're not really willing to get out there and do it. Amen. I've been talking about expanding my pasture at my house to make a little more room. But to do that, there's a lot of trees that have got to be cut and a lot of grading to be done and grass to be planted. And in other words, it's a lot of work. Now, I think I enjoy talking about building a barn and extending the pasture. It's a good topic of conversation. I've got it drawn out on a piece of paper. That wasn't too bad. Amen. Every time I walk through the garage, that chainsaw's laying there, and it's going, do you really want that pasture? Nah, not that bad. Amen. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that we'd like to see done, but we're not really willing to get out there and do anything about it. Amen. Are you with me? There's children in foreign countries that are starving, and we watch the commercials, and we go, you're not really willing to do nothing about it. There's people all across this nation dying and on their way to hell without Christ. We know the answer. We have the remedy, but we're not willing to do anything about it. The Bible talks about right here in 2 Peter chapter number 3 what God is not willing to do. The only thing God is not willing to do is let anybody die and go to hell without a fair shot at salvation. Amen. This morning, I don't want to talk about what he's not willing to do, but what he is willing to do. Amen. Go to chapter 5. Yes, Luke chapter number 5. We'll read a few verses together. Luke chapter number 5. And I'll try not to hold you very long. This sermon will be like a fat boy crawling through a barbed wire fence. About 3 points and we'll be through. Amen. Luke chapter number 5. And look with me at verse number 12. And we're going to read a few verses here, okay? The Bible said, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Let me just stop right there and say right off the bat, that's faith. That's faith. Nobody got cured from leprosy. Your appendages fell off and you died from it. But this guy saw Jesus coming down the road and he said, if you will, Lord, if you're willing to do so, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing to do so, you can cleanse me. You can heal my disease. That's faith right there. Amen. That's how you get saved. Just believing that God can do what he said he'd do. Amen? Verse number 13. And the Bible said, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Yeah. He said, Lord, if you will. Here's what the Lord said. I will. I will. There may be some this morning going through some difficulty, and you might get on the altar and say, Lord, if you will, you can solve this. And maybe the Lord's just waiting on you to ask so he can respond to you, just like he responded to this dear man, I will. I will. It's not ever that the Lord's not willing. It's us that are not willing. Amen. It's never a question if God can. The guy said, if you can, or if you will, you can make me whole. God, if you will, hey, he said, I will. So the ball must be in my court. If I've got a difficulty, I must need to just bring it to the Lord. Because why? He said, I will. He said, casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, in other words, he's still saying, I will. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't have to. He does. Amen. He said, I will. Let me finish reading the scripture. I'll never get through it. He said, I will. Be thou clean. I like this. And immediately. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want to talk just a little bit this morning about what God is willing to do. What God is willing to do. What he's willing to do in my life. What he's willing to do in your life. And what he was willing to do in this leper's life. Now understand, this guy had leprosy. We don't see that today. But did you know in other countries they still have leper colonies and people die from leprosy? That's where your body just begins to rot. Your ears fall off and your nose fall off. It's a bad disease. And they had strict laws in Bible days concerning leprosy. They had leper colonies where these people were banished to, and they were not to come in contact with anybody who was free of the disease. A matter of fact, when they saw somebody coming their way, they had to hold a rag over their face and begin to cry out, unclean, unclean. In other words, what they're saying is, don't come near me. I am very contagious, and if you touch me, you'll die. Amen. Leprosy was a bad thing. But here this leper heard Jesus is coming to town, and what he found out was Jesus is willing to change a man's condition. Jesus is willing to change a man's condition. Here's what society said. We have nothing for you. We have nothing for you. There's no antidote. Penicillin, there's no kind of medicine we can give you. There's no medical cure. This is the only thing we can offer you. There's some other lepers living out there on the outside of town. Go join them and die with them. That's all society had to offer. Did you know that's basically all society is offering our young people today? They're offering them literally nothing, man. We got teenagers by the thousands that are just drifting, chasing off after everything in the world, nothing but things that are leading them straight to hell, and society saying, oh, get a great education. That'll solve your every problem. No, it won't. Right. I'm not against education, but in many cases, it just intensifies your problem. You say, yeah, but I need to get a good job and make a lot of money. It's a whole lot easier to manage $100 than it is $1,000. Amen. And I'm for having the thousands, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying education is not the answer. Amen. Education's a good thing, and you ought to get all of it, but it doesn't change your spiritual condition. Right. It might put you in a nicer house. It might put you in a nicer car, but it doesn't change the condition of your heart. But here's the Lord. He's willing to change a man's condition. Brother Jason stood up and testified this morning. Right on time, brother. Right on time. Here was a man. When I tell people Jason Crow, and I'm on the radio live right now, and somebody's going, Jason Crow, I cannot. I've got to go see that to believe it. Amen? I mean, Jason wasn't just hooked on crystal meth. He was a dealer of crystal meth. And the devil used him not only to ruin and wreck his life, but to ruin and wreck the lives of others. And people all over this county and Paulden County looked at a Jason Crow and said, there is no hope for that individual. He'll be, the next news I hear is he'll be dead. But God stepped in and God said, no, wait a minute. I've got another idea. Happy Valley's going to need an addiction program one of these days. And I'm going to clean this old sorry rascal up, and I'm going to forgive him of his sins, and I'm going to change the condition of his life. Somebody help me right there and say amen. Amen. Jesus was willing to change his condition. And listen, here's the reason I believe he's willing. Because he has the ability. Because he had the ability. There are people falling out of addictions programs all over the world today. God bless their effort. It's a good thing. But without God, you're fighting a battle on your own. Amen. I imagine there was a time or two, and Brother Jason hadn't told me this, and I hope I'm not embarrassing you this morning, brother. If I am, I'm going to get worse, okay? But Brother Jason's my friend. I can pick on him. But I don't know. He hadn't told me this, but I imagine over the course of those years on that stuff, was there a time or two you tried to walk away from it? Tried to walk away. You know what he found out? He didn't have the power within himself to change his condition. It wasn't a program he had to get to. It was a person he had to get to. It wasn't a program this leper needed. It was a person, and that person was the person of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power to save, who has the power to cleanse, who has the power to change. Amen? Now listen, this guy was probably even breaking the law by approaching the Lord. He wasn't just probably breaking the law. He was breaking the law. He was not supposed to come in contact with anybody that was clean. Now, I'll be honest with you. In that day, if I'd have lived in that day and I saw one coming at me, I'd have shot him. Yeah. Amen. Because my contact with him not only meant his death, but mine too. Right. Amen. I believe the Lord might have been immune there. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So he was breaking the law by coming to the Lord, and there's probably no doubt people trying to stop him, trying to hinder him and keep him from coming to the Lord. And there's probably people here just like that this morning. The Lord deal with your heart, and that old devil will set in and say, you don't need to go to that altar. You don't need to go. You can take care of this when you get home. Amen. People trying to hinder him, no doubt, from getting to the Lord. But he came to the Lord. And I want you to notice something in verse 13 that just absolutely amazed me. In verse number 13, the Bible said, and he put forth his hand and what? Touched him. Now, the Lord has just done the unthinkable.
Yeah. Amen.
Not only did he allow this leprous man to approach him, the Lord reached out and touched. Can you imagine the crowd around going, oh, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he actually reached out and touched that leper. Hey, listen, man, nobody else was willing to touch him. Nobody else, everybody else was in fear of him. Everybody else was afraid they'd get what he had. But Jesus knew that he wouldn't get what he had, but the leper would get what he had. He wasn't afraid what the leper might transfer to him. He was rejoicing over what he might transfer to the leper. Not only was he willing to allow the man to approach, but God was willing to touch him. Brother Tommy sings, Brother Tommy can play one song, I'm just kidding, he can play a few, but he plays that song and sings, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, what a change when Jesus touches your life. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Has he touched you? Has he touched you? Did you know everybody in the Bible, as I studied through the New Testament, everybody he touched was drastically changed? Listen, when Jesus touched this man, not only was his body changed, his living conditions were changed. He didn't have to go back to that old leper colony. You understand that? He didn't have to go back there anymore. Like Brother Todd sang about the old man is dead. I don't got to go there anymore. Amen. I like that song, Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. He didn't have to go back to that leper colony. Listen, what he got to do? He got to go back home to his family. There was a whole lot more than a physical healing. And listen, if you're not careful, you get so caught up with the television evangelism. Some of it I'm for. Some of it I think's a circus. It's a sideshow. Y'all okay? They get so caught up in the physical healing. That's all they talk about. That's all they talk about. And God does heal. Don't get me wrong. Wave at me, Miss Ashley. God heals. We know that without a doubt. God heals. But that's just the physical. He doesn't just get his physical change. And that's probably the first thing everybody noticed in town. Hey, didn't he used to have leprosy? Wasn't he exiled to the leper colony? Wonder what happened to him. Oh, that man they called Jesus touched him. Oh, okay. So not only is there an outward change, but there's an inward change. There's a peace in his heart that was not there before. There's a confidence in his Savior that was not there before. I'm telling you, man, this guy's whole life was changed. 1 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. I wonder how many of you, when you came to the Lord, he changed your life. Changed. I'm talking about change. Change the way you thought. Change the way you felt. Change the way you thought about other people. I mean, just an instant change. You know why? Because the love of God was placed in your heart that wasn't there before. Amen. The Lord was not only willing to allow this man to approach him, but he was willing to reach out, put forth his hand, and touch him. Oh, the touch of God. Brother Atkins, what a difference the touch of God makes. I've been pastoring right now here in this church. I've been pastoring here for 18 years. I could sit and tell you story after story after story after story. Just a few that are sitting in this room this morning. Brother Rusty and Miss Stacy were on the verge. They were separated, actually, if I remember right. They're on the verge of divorce. They said, let's try God one time. Let's give this as last-ditch effort. Let's go to church. Jeremy and Michelle down here in the altar. Oh, that's precious. Down here, husband and wife praying together this morning. Wasn't that way when they came here. The devil was busting up a home. I can tell you story after story after story, not only from years past, but just sitting in this room this morning, that the touch of God drastically changed their life.
Amen.
Amen. So God was willing to change his condition. Sometimes I'm afraid we don't even realize our condition's that bad. We get so used to living in that way. Amen. Most people don't even realize today that they're sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has broken at least one of the Ten Commandments. Probably this week. You know what that makes us? That makes us a sinner. That makes us a transgressor of God's law. You ever heard about people who went to the doctor for just a normal checkup? I mean, boy, they feel good, they're in shape, they exercise, they eat right, they eat all them herbs and all that stuff. Herbs, man, I eat steak. Where's the beef, brother? Amen. Keep that rabbit food. Anyway, but you'll die. I'll die happy. Amen. Listen, they eat right. They take care of themselves. They run. They jog. They do all this stuff. And then they go to the doctor just for a normal checkup and find out something's bad wrong. Had no idea there was something growing inside. Had no idea, but they had to have a doctor to point it out and say, hey, you're not as well as you thought you were. There is a problem right here. And if this problem's not addressed, you'll die from it. Maybe that's what church is. Let me be your doctor this morning. Let Jesus be your doctor this morning and examine your heart and examine your life. Even though we may think it's fine and think everything is going okay, God searches the depths of the heart. He knows us better than we know our own selves. Amen? And why don't we ask God to search out our condition and ask him, God, does my condition need to be changed? Amen? I guarantee you there's areas in my life that I could do better. Amen? I guarantee you in your life also, but there's some here this morning, no doubt in my mind, your condition is this. You're not sure about your own salvation. Sister Terry has wrestled with this and wrestled with this. She got out of her bed, it got so heavy on her last night, got down beside her bed while her husband was sleeping and got that thing settled last night. Well, say, did she get saved last night or did she get saved before? I don't know, but she got it settled last night. She got it settled last night. Get that condition settled, then build everything else on top of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get everything. I had a husband come to my office one day and wanted to see me. He called me on the phone, wanted to know if I'd meet with him. I told him, yes, I would. And so I met with him, and he said, we need marriage counseling. My wife is leaving me. I need you to help us fix our marriage. And I wanted to say, I didn't break it. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. And I had heard the wife in the past say, pray for my husband, he's not saved. I said, before we deal with the marriage, I said, before we can fix a relationship, we got to get the individual straightened out.
Yes,
I looked him dead in the eye and said, tell me, are you saved? Tell me, are you saved? He said, no, I'm not. I said, before you can fix the marriage, Uncle Mark, you've got to get your heart taken care of.
Amen.
And right there, me and my uncle knelt together. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. He went to heaven a year ago, 3 years ago. He went to heaven 3 years ago with his wife still at his side. And now they're there together, amen? Why? Because he got that settled first. He got that condition taken care of first. And what you'll find out, like the man in the book of Acts, when he asked the disciples, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In other words, when you get your heart right, it's a domino effect. It starts having the effect on every condition of your household. Amen. Yes, amen. The Lord was willing to change a man's condition. Listen, this man's condition was terrible at best. Would you agree? And if he could do that for a leper, what could he do for you? If he could do that for a leper's home, what could he do for you? I remember a man that he met in Mark chapter number 5 that was possessed with a bunch of demons. Not just one, but a whole legion of demons. And he came running to the Lord and said, have mercy on me. And the man was naked, and they had him chained up in a tomb. And he was so demonic, so many demonic powers in him. He was breaking the chains and the fetters asunder and cutting himself with stones. I mean, this man was in agony. Amen. And Jesus cast the demons out of him. Yeah, and the next time they saw him, they said he was clothed and in his right mind.
Yes,
would you say his condition changed?
Yes.
They wouldn't even let him in town, man. He was that bad. He was an outcast. They didn't even put him in jail. They put him outside of town, locked him up in a graveyard. But one visit from the Lord changed his condition drastically. Just one visit from the Savior this morning would change your condition like you never would imagine. Amen. Not only was Jesus willing to change a man's condition, but I want you to jump down to verse number 17. We'll read another little story. I'm trying to hurry. I didn't say I was doing any good at it, but I'm trying. The Bible said in verse number 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They're still around today too, I'm afraid. Which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, and they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. And the Bible said they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, these are the scoffers, these are the naysayers, if you will, and the scribes and the Pharisees, in verse 21, began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Listen, not only was the Lord willing to change a man's condition, but the Lord was willing to cleanse a man's sin. Not only was the Lord, did you know nobody can forgive your sins but the Lord?
Yeah.
Listen, if I have an argument with my wife and I say something hurtful to her, and she goes pouting for 4 or 5 days, and Katie, my youngest daughter, said, Mama, don't be mad, Daddy's sorry. That's not going to fix it. If I call my son Levi and say, Levi, would you talk to your mama and see if you can get her to forgive me, that's just going to make her madder. If I call my oldest daughter, or even worse, if I call my mama. If I call my mama and say, Mama, would you talk to my wife? She's mad at me and she won't forgive me. It ain't going to cut it. What's going to happen is I've got to come to the source of the one I have offended and ask her forgiveness. And in my case, after 2 or 3 days, she will. Y'all okay? Some of you men could say amen right there, chicken. What I'm saying is he will cleanse man's sin. He's willing to do that if you're willing to come to the source. Amen. People ask me all the time, pray for a family member who's not saved. And we do that, and I believe it works, and I believe it helps. But that sin will never be forgiven until that sinner comes to the one that he has offended, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, you mean I've offended God? You sure have. Every one of us. God don't wink at sin. He doesn't just look over it, but he said sin will be punished. Amen. And when we sin, brother, we've sinned not against ourselves and not just against others, but we've sinned against God. You remember the prodigal son when he came home? He said, I will arise and go unto my father and say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against God and against thy house. You remember that? Amen. I've sinned against God. So where do we got to come to get forgiveness for that? To God. Amen. To God. Not a preacher. I can't forgive your sin. Amen. Sometimes I feel like sitting in my office, I ought to turn my collar around backwards. Because people want to come and confess all their stuff to me. Don't tell me.
That's right.
I don't want to know. The less I know about you, the better.
Yeah.
The way it stands right now, I like you. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't need to know all the gory details of your life. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, but there's one you can come to that'll never be shocked with anything you tell him.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's, you're not going to catch him by surprise.
Amen.
And by the way, there's nothing you can confess to him that he cannot or will not forgive. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God who forgives sins. Now, we've got some people here this morning. I got dear friends. Boy, it's an honor. Somebody told me one time, said, I don't see how you pastor where you grew up. Listen, man, right back there in that nursery is where I went to kindergarten. When this was the First Baptist Church, I went to kindergarten. Right, I guarantee you that woman keeping me didn't think I'd pastor this church. Guarantees that never crossed her mind. She probably thought I was a lifelong jailbird. Amen. That it's an honor to pastor where I grew up, because it's an honor to pastor people I grew up with. It's an honor to have Jason Bice here this morning, who knows me, Randy Massey and Clint Massey, and Todd Turner's here this morning, and Johnny Cash, and many others that knew me all my life growing up, and they knew what I was. And we're not careful, we get together and probably discuss the past more than we ought to. You see, what we remember, God has forgotten. God doesn't just have the ability to forgive my sin. He has the ability to forget my sin. Amen. Me and Todd, I hadn't seen Todd in years. And just immediately this morning, we were remembering. We went to Victory Christian Academy together and torturized Brother Jason's daddy. And I don't think much caught him by surprise either. But anyway, we went to school together. And we automatically remember this and we remember that. And we, like we were saying this morning, I blame it all on Todd. And he said it's my fault. Amen. And that could go either way. But we know things about our past. But when we bring that past to Jesus, it's gone. It's gone. The slate is wiped clean.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the new birth. That's salvation. Yeah, I've been to the hospital now probably 1,000 times when somebody was having a baby. And I've seen them bring that baby out for the first time and let everybody see it. I remember when our granddaughter, Caroline, was born. She came out, and they automatically start saying, oh, she looks just like Ashley and all this, and talking about she looks like this one and that one. One thing I've never heard them say about a newborn baby. You remember when she?
Yeah.
You remember what she did? Why? Because there's no past there.
Amen.
It's all future.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is when we're born again. That past is gone. That past is, it doesn't matter if you were a meth addict. You're no longer a meth addict. You're a child of God.
Yes.
You understand that? Hey, listen, no longer a whoremonger, a child of God. Listen, that past is gone. This world may look at you and say, I remember what you did. I remember this and I remember that. And the Lord's sitting in heaven going, what are they talking about? That's not only forgiven, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's buried in the sea of forgetfulness. It'll never be resurrected again. It's gone.
Amen.
Woo! You ever carried a load of guilt? I remember the night I got saved. I felt so guilty. I realized for the first time I was on my way to hell and knew I deserved it. And I'll never forget when I prayed that simple little prayer. I mean, it was a spiritual thing. But friend, listen to me. It was a physical thing. It wasn't just spiritual. Brother Freddie, I felt it. I felt that junk leave my soul, man. I felt that weight of sin being lifted. I used to sit in church and make fun of people for shouting. Man, when that thing come off me, guess what I did? Woo! I mean, man, that was good. That's better than a 10-pound bass right there, brother. Amen. Not only is he willing to change the condition of a man, but he's willing to cleanse and to forgive the sins of a man. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? There's an old hymn that says, "All my sins are gone. All my sins are gone." Listen, I do have a past. There are a lot of people remembers what I do. But I prayed before I left that office this morning so I could come in this place and stand before you spotless and guiltless before God. Amen. Brother Earl Hughes, I just mentioned this last week, but I love the story. Brother Earl Hughes is an old North Georgia mountain preacher. He's preached all across the country, and Brother Earl's one of my heroes. Brother Earl was preaching in this pulpit a few years ago during one of our camp meetings, and he said, somebody asked me, he said, "Brother Earl, what if we could take all your thoughts and all your deeds and put them up on a big screen for everybody to see?" And Brother Earl jumped up and down, 80-something years old. He said, "Give me about 5 minutes and you can put anything you want up there." Amen. Boy, that thing sunk in good with me and I'll never forget it. Amen. What he was saying, you let me get along with God and I'll get that thing wiped clean and you can put anything you want up on that screen. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We take it for granted that God just forgives our sins. And we don't rejoice in that near enough. Amen. 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 Listen, not only is God willing to change the condition of a man, not only is he willing to cleanse the sins of a man, but he's willing to call a man into service. He's willing to call a man into service. We're going to pick up at verse number 27 and read a few more verses. But before we do, listen, it's not just a miracle that God cured a meth addict. It's not just a miracle that God delivered him from the addiction. It's not just a miracle that God allowed him to walk away from that. But God doesn't always stop there. It's not just a miracle that God forgave him of his sins. And that is a miracle. But God said, I want to go a little bit further. I want the world to see what I can do with what they said was useless. Did y'all get that? Let me say it again. I want the world to see what I can do with what they said was useless. I imagine there's a crowd in Paulding County. If we could have brought them in here this morning, had them sitting in the choir loft and while Brother Jason was testifying, they'd have passed out right there. God not only was willing to cleanse him or to change his condition. Not only willing to cleanse him and forgive him his sin, God said, I want to go further. I want to get glory out of him and I want to use him. Amen. So you know what happened just sometime this last year? Brother Jason stood up right there about where Brother Freddie is and he made an announcement to the church. He said, "Church, God's called me to preach." Amen. You said, what qualifies him for that? That. Y'all got a good grip on that? Amen. What qualifies him to preach the gospel? The call of God on his life. Amen. Amen. Here in just a few months, Lord willing, he's going to have his own ministry right here. Be on Friday nights. You hooked on something? Whether it be cigarettes, food, it don't matter. It's just an intense Bible study program is all it is. Getting the Word of God, when you get the Word of God in you, it gets the other out. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And God's going to use him. God's not just willing to change a man's condition. He's not just willing to cleanse him of his sin, but God is willing to call him into his service. Look at verse number 27. The Bible said, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." Now, for y'all that don't understand or don't know the Bible that well, that's the IRS. That's somebody everybody in town ain't real fond of. Amen. Have you ever got a phone call at your house and you got caller ID and it says IRS on the phone? I don't answer that phone. Hey, I ain't got nothing to hide, but I sure don't want them digging. Amen. I don't think I do anyway. Levi was not a popular fellow. He was a publican. He was somebody that the religious crowd didn't associate with. He saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. Boy, that's simple, wasn't it?
Amen.
Evidently, Levi already knew who he was. Evidently, Levi already knew what he was all about.
Yeah.
And as soon as Jesus came to him and said, follow me, watch this. The Bible said, and he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And we'll get there in just a second. I'm going to stop at verse number 28 and say, Jesus is willing to call a man into service. A man least likely. A man least likely. I remember, Todd, when we were growing up at White Oak, and I remember the crowd looking at different people and saying, oh, God's going to call him to preach. When we were just little boys, they would look, and I'm not making light or making little, but I remember it was said that Jeff Bird would be a preacher from his childhood up, and he is, and he's a great one. It was said that Shay Talent would be a good preacher, and he is, and he's a great one. I thank God for it, but they never said that about me. Not one time. Now, you watch that Eddie White right there. That's going to be a pastor one of these days. While Jay Bice was beating my rear end with a board at Victory Christian Academy, not one time did he ever say, boy, you got to straighten up. You got to be my pastor one day. Nobody ever said that about me. My own dad told my mother, said, if you don't do something with that boy, he's going to be in jail or dead. I'm glad God had another idea. My first principal in Christian school was a man named Chip Beal. You remember him, Brother Jason, old Brother Chipper. Boy, we gave that poor man fits. I hope he's not listening on the radio. If you are, Brother Chip, I love you. I'm sorry. But I was at Shiloh at the camp meeting down in Douglasville right after God had called me to preach. And I got there early, and we got down close to the front. And we went over and heard Brother Mays Jackson. Well, you ain't lived. You ain't never heard Brother Mays preach. Oh, what a preacher. And we're sitting down there going to hear Brother Mays preach. And during the singing, Brother Howard got up and he said, I want all of God-called preachers to stand up, tell us who you are and where you're from. Well, they started in the back and I heard them coming forward. And I'd never done that before. And boy, I was nervous and my heart was a-beating. And I'm just standing there, you know, and it got to me. And he said, brother, tell us who you are. Where are you from? I said, Eddie White. I almost said Happy Valley. White Oak Springs Baptist Church. And my old principal sitting in the back busted out laughing. I kid you not. I mean, he started cackling out loud. And I'm sure he wasn't the only one. When the news got out that Eddie White had been called to preach, I'm sure there was a crowd that said, yeah, right. But I'm glad God doesn't call and qualify based on our past or our ability. But God calls and qualifies based on our willingness to serve Him. I think God called me to preach just because I wanted to please Him. And to do more for Him for what He had done for me. You say, listen, I'm not qualified. Don't let this society tell you who's qualified.
Amen.
I was preaching in a church recently, and they had a young couple, surrender to go to the mission field. I'm going to be real careful right here. I don't want to offend anybody. But they had to get an approval. They had to get approval from the organization. Before they could go, they had to go to college for 5 years. Before they could, 5 years. I wonder how many people die and go to hell in that country.
Amen.
In that 5 years.
Amen.
Y'all all right? I think that's wicked, man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What about that Macedonian cry Paul got?
Yeah.
Hey, come over and help us. Well, I wait a minute. I got to go learn your language. I got to go to school. Hey, man, if God calls you, He can equip you. Again, I'm not against going to school. I'm for it. I have a degree hanging on my wall. It ain't worth the paper it's printed on. Amen. You know why it's not? Because I didn't let it affect me none. I'm still the man God called to preach 20-something years ago. Amen. Amen. Listen, God not only is willing to change the condition of a man. Not only is He willing to cleanse the sin of a man, but God is willing to call a man in His service. You say, what can I do for God? Whatever He asks you to do.
Yes, amen.
I remember when God was dealing with me about preaching, I sat in that pew and I thought, there ain't no way. I can't do that. I don't even speak good English. I'm a hick. God can't use me. Guess where I preach more than I do anywhere else? In the north. Me. Wednesday night, Buffalo, New York. That's as Yankee as you get.
Yeah.
Amen. God says, I don't care where you're from or what's your background. If you'll surrender to me, I can use your life.
Yes, sir.
And it may not be to preach. It may be to work a bus route or helping a Sunday school class or just to be a faithful prayer warrior or a witness. I'm saying God not only saw fit to change your life, God is not only willing to cleanse the sin in your life, but God is willing to call you into his service and let you do something for him.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Let me give you this last and I'm done. We'll look at that next verse of Scripture. Verse number 29, and I'm so glad this is in the Bible. The Bible said, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company, watch this, of who? Of publicans and others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, who do you eat and drink why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm glad Jesus is willing to communicate with men in need. Amen. Jesus didn't act like he was above everybody, and by the way, he was. He was not just a man, Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. He was the only one who could really act like he's above somebody.
Amen.
He's the only one who ever lived that could really live like he was above others.
Amen.
Because he was.
Amen.
But now we've got a society today that wants to live like they're above everybody else.
Yeah.
But I'm glad Jesus was willing to come down.
Amen.
And to sit down at a table with sinful men and have a meal with them.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just always standing up, pointing at people's face and telling them how wicked and sorry they are. Y'all okay?
Amen.
These scribes and Pharisees, they were murmuring against him. In other words, they were saying, how dare he sit down and eat with sinners? They're going to stay that way till somebody's willing. You know what? Jesus came where I was. He came where I was to a New Year's Eve party. He came where I was in my condition. He came to where I was in my sin. He came to me. I love the old song said, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. I'm glad he's still willing. And by the way, I just take that example from him. I'm willing too. I'm willing to go to those that the average church crowd don't want in their church. Somebody said, aren't you afraid of what kind of people you're going to draw in with an addictions program? We already got them now.
Amen.
Amen. If I had every woman in this place come dump their purse right here, it'd blow your mind. We could probably open a drugstore. Boy, it got quiet. One more ain't going to hurt. Amen. One church said, we stopped running them buses. We didn't like those kids. They come in, they tear up stuff. That's what we built it for. That's what it's here for. We're not above them. We're not above their parents. We're not above their living conditions. We're not above their situations. We want to be like the Lord and go to those who need him most. Go to those who need him most. Somebody said, why come our church don't have a lot of money? Because we're willing to go to those who need him most. Those that are broke, those that are hurting, those that are in need. I'm glad Jesus was willing to communicate with people nobody else would. Have you ever walked into a church somewhere before and felt like you put on an alien mask before you walked in or something? I was just a young preacher, and I'd name the church, and many of you would know it and exactly where it's at. I was preaching at a church just for a youth service. Our daughter was little, one of the babies was small, and this is a big church. And my wife took baby to the nursery, and there were four or five ladies in there. She stayed in that nursery the entire time I was preaching. And back then, that would be a long time. The entire time. The whole time she's in that nursery. You know how many of those ladies even spoke to her? Not one. They didn't say, hi, how are you? What's your name? Nothing. Man, don't be a snob. The world's got enough snobs. Amen. Everybody can be nice. Amen. Amen. Well, they don't dress like me. I wonder if we can get some old pictures of you. What if we could resurrect some of them pictures from the 70s? I used to wear bell bottoms when mama wasn't looking. Peace, man. Y'all all right? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to tell you exactly what the Lord's willing to do for you this morning. Whatever it is you need, whatever it is that's lacking in your heart and your life, He's willing to meet that need this morning. Levi, are you still in here? Would you come and sing, if you don't believe in miracles? Could you do that with the piano? Listen, we're going to have the altar call in just a second. Give you the opportunity to come speak personally, one-on-one, to the one I've been preaching about for the last 35 minutes. But before we do, I wonder if we could just bow our heads together. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today that say, Lord, I feel kind of like that leper. Man, my life's just in a mess. I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. But if you can know that for sure, I'd really like to get that settled in my heart. I wonder if there's anybody like that here today. Just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to get that settled. I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. You just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, pray. I'd get this thing about my salvation, my soul, my eternity taken care of. Anybody? How about this morning? Preacher, I know if I died right now, heaven would be my home, ain't no doubt. But there's some areas and there's some situations and circumstance in my life that I need God's touch. I need God's help and His healing. Would you just slip up your hand all over this building this morning? Thank you for your honesty. Let's pray together. Lord, as I come to you this morning, Lord, standing before me are real people with real lives, with real trouble and real trial. Lord, you know their hearts. You know their needs better than they know themselves. Lord, there's some that came in this morning with a smile on their face, but not in their heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. God, give them victory in their heart this morning, whatever it is that caused them to put that hand in the air and say, pray for me. Lord, just draw them to you this morning. Strengthen them, God, and encourage them. God, give them what they need to go back out in this world one more week and to live for you. Father, you know every heart. You saw every hand. God, you deal with us accordingly this morning. Have your way in this altar call. God, whatever you do, we'll give you honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.